God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And today is the 9th of July and we're 2018 and it's Monday and it's a beautiful day here in Bristol and the sun's shining. We do have some clouds in the sky, but it's a beautiful day regardless. And yesterday was even hotter, and so me and Kim, we decided to go to Swanage, and we took Jason along with us, and wonderful believer, and we had a really great day, and we was sharing lots of word with each other. And God was just reminding me of a subject that's really been in my heart lately, because you know, when you see these things go on, it doesn't mean to say we got to address everything all the time, but when God puts it in your heart to address something, then we address it. Okay, as believers born again of the Spirit of God, we cannot afford to stay offended. And the offense I'm talking about is believers offending other believers, or where there's a division within the body. No, that's not the heart of God for us to stay in that way. And as believers and leaders, if we're going to function effectively in our ministries, our giftings and our callings, we truly have to be free in our heart of resentment, unforgiveness and hurts. We have to be free from ourselves by putting on the mind of Christ. We have to reckon that old man nature dead and its habits, and we need to be led by the Spirit of God, knowing what God's word has to say to us today. No, God doesn't want us ignorant of this. And this subject of offense is all through the scriptures. It is a big topic, and God's had his men and women from the Bible times to communicate this and to record these things down for our learning, so that we can have a more sharper walk, and that we can know God's true heart to us and how he would have us live and move amongst each other as believers, so that we can minister effectively to the world, that we can be those witnesses, that we can reconcile men and women back to God. I mean, if we can't reconcile within the body, how do we expect to reconcile and keep the people that we witness to? God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have the Spirit of God in us. We're to put that word on. We're to renew our minds by being led by the Spirit of God. And as we are walking by the Spirit, keeping our eyes focused on him, then we're going to be listening to that small voice of God. Now, we're not perfect, so all of us make mistakes, and things come in and they hinder us, or we can get offended by people. But we've got to bring everything back to what does God say about it. And we have to remember our true identity is in Christ. All right, it's not in our old man nature habits or our old man nature thought patterns. It's not in our past. Our identity is in what the Word of God says to us today. Our identity is in Christ. Where there's division and there's separation of believers and friends, it is either through unresolved disagreements, jealousy, misunderstanding, arguments, and a lack of walking and operating the love of God in our life. And being offended, an offended heart, is a breeding ground for deception, because it deceives us, number one, because we think we're walking with God and we're doing these wonderful things and we're teaching these things. But if we got this in our heart, then we're going to miss out on the bigger things that God wants for us. And God wants us free from any resentments, any jealousies, any arguments. He wants us to resolve them, and we can when we walk in that love of God, when we're renewing our minds to the truth of the word, and God is first, not our own agenda. See, a lot of the divisions stay as a division because people think what they're doing is 100% right and what everybody else is doing is off, or they don't understand the scriptures properly, or they haven't rightly divided the word properly according to their workings. But you don't know what God's working in someone's heart and the truth that God has revealed to someone. And the way that we test anything is by pulling it to work, you know, proving what we're saying. You know, then God can enlighten us. See, we understand the scriptures through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit in us. That's what opens up the word of God to us, the truth of it, the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. So if we're going to walk with God and be led by his Spirit, we don't have the right to stay offended, basically. Yeah, I know we have free will choice, but staying offended will hinder your greater work that God wants you to do for him and for others. So we got to be free from us. We got to have that spirit of meekness, that humble heart, the nature of God living in us and through us, that Christ in us being manifested. And if you've got an offended heart, if you've got resentment, if you've got unforgiveness in there, it's going to stop you from ministering the way God wants you to minister. And I'm telling you, this is for a lot of people that are listening to this right now. So I've just gone through a few scriptures here, and we'll look at and see what the word says. So in Proverbs 18:19, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. and their contentions are like the bars of steel. So if you think about it, when you get offended, what do? You start building the wall around you, right? You're not going to let people hurt you. I've been hurt in the past. I'm never going to let this happen to me again. And then when you see something similar or sounding similar to what has offended you, then you immediately put the barricades up. So this can stop you from receiving other things that God may want you to have. Like for an example, I belong to a ministry that was always reproving people, always in people's faces, always staring them down and pointing the finger. And so, you know, I thought I'm never going to take that from anyone again. All right. So when I did need reproof and someone gave it to me and they'd done it in a loving way, I didn't receive it because I'm thinking, well, no, there's always someone on my case, there's always someone pointing the finger. But then God was able to work with me and show me these things that, you know, not every situation is the same, not every heart is the same that are communicating the things. But it's just an example, is that because I was treated in a bad way before, doesn't mean to say I'm going to be treated in a bad way again. And, you know, and we can start to recognize and discern these things, right? In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down imaginations, and this word imaginations is reasoning, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we're to lead every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we do that with the word. So when we don't want to forgive someone, we're to lead captive that thought to Christ by putting on the word of God. When we are offended, we're to let it go by, and we do that by seeing what God says about it. We lead those thoughts captive to Christ. So if someone's hurt you, let it go. Don't hang on to that hurt and dirt, because it's going to hinder you and your walk as long as you hang on to it. And God is saying, let it go. He's got such great work for you, and he wants to explode your work even bigger than what you're doing right now. And he wants to increase you bigger than you're increased right now. But there's some things that you have to deal with and to let those things go, and to go to God with it through your prayer, through your study of the word, even by going to someone and saying you're sorry, saying, yeah, look, you know, I had something against you, but I've let it go and I love you. And then you just work the things out, you know, because we're supposed to do that. No one really teaches on this stuff, and you know, that I've heard for a long time, and I just really felt it was important as God was bringing this to my mind yesterday. And I was just going through the scriptures and looking at it in Matthew 18:21. It says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But as much as he had not to pay, his lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me, thou, that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison, till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then the lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the torments, till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. See, we have to be forgiven, right? And this servant here, he forgot what he was forgiven of. And we've been forgiven. Okay, we didn't even have to say sorry. We just had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we were forgiven, right? We changed direction. And if someone changed direction, then you're to recognize it and you're to forgive them. And we're to work with people and we're to encourage them. We're to be that examples. In Acts 24:16, there's another great record, and it says, "And herein," Paul says, "and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man." Paul practiced this. He practices in his walk, and with anything, we have to practice forgiving. We have to, you know, practice being restored to a brother or a sister. We have to practice the principles that Jesus Christ lived and walked and showed us and expected us to live. We have to practice forgiving other people because we've been forgiven so much. You know, we need to exercise self unto godliness. In Matthew 5, verse 44, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Who said that? Oh, Jesus said that. Am I to do that? Yes, I'm to do that. "Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father." Because that's how the Father acts, which is in heaven. "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain to the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" The unbelievers live that way, you know. They love those that love them. And if we're doing that as believers, then there's something wrong. There's something that we need to be thinking about. We need to be coming back to God, coming back to his word, and checking our hearts. Because we don't want to be hindered in moving for God. We don't want our work to be hindered that God's got for us. And I tell you, if you're not ready in your heart, if you're not right in your heart, then things will dry up. So God wants you to be blessed, and he wants you to hear what's being said right now. In Romans 8:6, Paul says this. Okay, "For to be carnally minded is death. To think with the unbelieving mind, the natural mind, is death. But to be spiritually minded, that is to have the mind of Christ on, is life and peace." See, when we're walking by that spirit, we are not offended. We're free from our old self. We've reckoned that old man dead. We've got the truth of the word living in our heart, and we're doing it. And we're practicing what God says for us to practice, because it's going to bring results. It's going to get people to come from darkness to light. It's going to get someone that's walking off in their walk coming back to God. And so we need to be examples of this. We need to recognize what the truth of the word says. Verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind, the five sense mind, those attitudes, we don't allow any attitudes of the old man nature to come through the layers of Christ in us." All right, we want the Christ to be dominant in everything that we're doing. And it's a practice, it's a daily walk with God. And it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity," or an enemy against God, "for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." See, when we're walking with unforgiveness in our heart, when we're holding grudges against people, then what happens is, you know, that bitterness starts to come into you. You'll start to get bitter about things. And then that affects everything you're doing. It affects your ministering. It affects the way you teach. It affects the in the manner that you teach, in the manner that you minister to people, in the manner that you help people and speak to people. You know, it's going to have a big effect. And it's not going to be the effect that God wants you to have. He wants to work in you. He is working in you. And he wants you to be free in every area of your life. And so God will bring this up to you. If you've got something in your heart that you've kept for years and years and years, or months and months, or weeks and weeks, God will bring this up to you, because he wants you free from it. He doesn't want you to be trapped in offense. Okay, because it's a trap, and it's a deceptive trap. It deceives you, number one, because you think that you're doing all right, but you've got all this harboring in your heart, and it's going to come out. It's going to manifest itself somewhere. So it's operating in the carnal mind, which leads to death, right? And it's through the carnal mind where divisions, envies, hurts, and separation comes. But when we're walking and being led by the Spirit of God, with the mind of Christ activated in us, which is to be spiritually minded for our walks with the Father, it is life and peace. And that's where we want to be in every department. Okay, we want to be on the ball with God in every area. And it's available. Okay, we have the Spirit of God working in us, and when we cooperate with God with a meek and humble heart, then He highlight the errors of our walk that we can perfect, and that we can exercise ourselves in to be more adept at doing what He wants us to do. So there's no peace or life in division, envies, strifes, hurts, separation through being offended. If you haven't got peace right now, check your heart. Have a look at your relationships. Have a look at if you're holding on to anything that's gonna hurt you or that's hurting you. Okay, so the closer the relationship, the bigger the offense is, right? Like with divorce, you know, the bitter splits, people split up and they don't talk to each other. Two people that did love one another, they've gone through hard times and they've held on to resentments and it's turned into bitterness and they've split up, right? And then they never speak to each other. I've known people like that. I've known people also that have gone through divorce and it's been amicable and they're friendly. If you look at the world today, if you look at the bitterness in this world, if you look at the divisions in this world, if you look at the hurt in this world, if you look at the stuff that's going on in your political arena, then you can see these offenses and the manifestation and the results of what it causes. It causes troubles, it causes problems, it causes wars, right? But for believers, that's not meant to be. So we can't afford to stay hurt because it affects everything if it's left unresolved. So God wants us to walk in our full potential, and to do so we need God's perspective on how to do so, right? We cannot ignore what God has to say about division, a bitter heart, unforgiveness, being offended. These things are not the fruit of the Spirit or the traits of those who are being led by the Spirit of God. Okay, those walking with the mind of Christ, okay, will avoid the backbiting. They will look to restore each other in the spirit of meekness. They will be encouraging, loving, forgiving, and praying for others. That's the trait of a believer. Okay, believers shouldn't be running other believers down behind their backs. Even if they confronted the person with what they want to say, they shouldn't then go be repeating it to everyone else. Okay, that's not the love of God. And that only builds up more division, more betrayal, more hurt, and then other people get affected, and then it's just like leaven, which leaveneth the whole lump. 1 Corinthians, Paul had to deal with this in a way in verse 10. It says, 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." See, if we're all speaking the same thing, then we're not going to be speaking anything bad, right? If we're all speaking bad, then there's going to be a tragedy. But if we're all speaking what God says, we're going to be triumph. Okay, so it says that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So this word division is schism. Paul was telling the believers at Corinth that there should be no division, there should be no schism amongst us. And the word division, like I said, is translated, can also be translated schism. And the dictionary says about schism, it means a split or strongly opposed sections of party caused by difference in opinion or belief. The widening schism between church leaders and politicians. Well, you know, church leaders don't want to be put in the same light as politicians, right? Divisions, splits, rifts, breach, rupture, break, separation, severance, entanglement, alienation, detachment. This is what divisions bring. It also says the former separation of a church into two churches or the cession of a group owing to doctrine and other differences. See, God wants His people to have the same understanding in His purpose and will. That's God's heart for all of His kids. So it goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1:11, "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions," and this word contention means quarrels, debates, and strife among you. "Now this I say, that every one of you say, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank my God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name, and I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So these guys were arguing who was the best spiritual leader, and and who their top man was. But Christ is the man, all right? Okay, God set him as the head of the church. And these guys were arguing over other ministers. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." They didn't have their spiritual mind on, but as unto carnal, five senses, as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For you are carnal. See, when we act like that, when we talk like that, when we think like that, we're carnal with five senses. For whereas there is among you envyings and strifes and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And this applies to anyone, leaders, believers in the body of Christ. If you're acting this way, then you're carnal. That's what the word of God says, right? If I act that way, I'm carnal. Okay, for while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? Ministers by whom you believe, and we thank God for our ministers, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See, it's God that gives the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. There's unity and oneness, right? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. The Spirit of God dwells in each of us. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, it's not Apollos, it's not Paul, it's not Peter that we build a ministry on. It's not a man or a woman that you build your ministry on. It's on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of it. He's the one that called you to do the work. And so we don't look at people after the flesh. We don't think with a carnal mind when it comes to the body of Christ, but we know what God says about it. And then we adjust ourselves to what God says. We put on that mind of Christ. See, Satan will use the carnal mind to bring division amongst God's people, and he's been very successful at it, hasn't he? But now it's time to stop that. Now it's time to change that. It's time to walk by the Spirit with a pure heart, and it's time to be the examples, and it's time to reconcile where we can reconcile the body of Christ, where we can encourage people to come together, where we can love and support one another. See, because other than that, there's lots of believers isolated, lots of believers on their own, and then they start thinking their own way, and then they come out of bounds, and then they're trapped, and they stay in that trap. So being offended is a trap set by the enemy to bring people into bondage. The one that is offended, okay, that's a trap by the enemy. Author and teacher John Bevere, a great teaching he put together on this, wrote in his book The Baits of Satan this, and I want to read this to you because he really puts it in a wonderful way. And he says, many are unable to function properly in their calling because of the wounds and hurts that offensive have caused in their life. They are handicapped and hindered from fulfilling their own potential. Most often it is a fellow believer who has hurt them. This causes the offense to feel like a betrayal. In Psalms 55, verse 12 to 14, David laments, "For it is not an enemy who reproached me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one that hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." There are those whom we sit with and sing alongside, or perhaps it's the one who's delivering the sermon. We spend holidays, attend social functions, and share offices with them. Or perhaps it's closer. We've grown up with, confided in, sleep next to them. The closer the relationship, the more severe the offense. You find the greatest hatred among people on who once were close. He carries on to say, attorneys will tell you the most vicious cases in the divorce courts. The American media constantly reports murders in the home by desperate family members. The home, meant to be a shelter of protection, provision and growth, where we learn to give and receive love, is often the very root of our pain. History shows that the bloodiest wars are civil. Brother against brother, son against father, the father against son. The possibilities for offense are endless, as the list of relationships, no matter how complex or simple, this truth remains. Only those you care about can hurt you. You expect more from them. After all, you've given more of yourself to them. The higher the expectation, the greater the fall. He continues, selfishness reigns in our society. Men and women today look out for themselves to the neglect and hurt of those around them. This should not surprise us. The Bible is very clear that in the last days men will be lovers of themselves, 2 Timothy 3:2. We expect this in unbelievers, but Paul was not referring to those outside the church. He was talking about those within it. Many are wounded, hurt and bitter. They are offended, but they do not realize that they have fallen into Satan's trap. Jesus made it very clear that it is impossible to live in this world and not have the opportunity to become offended. Yet most believers are shocked, bewildered, and amazed when it happens. We believe we are the only ones who have been wronged. This response leaves us vulnerable to a root of bitterness. Therefore, we must be prepared and armed for offenses, because our response determines our future. He continues to say in his book, The Baits of Satan, the Greek word for offense in Luke 17:1 comes from the word scandalon. This word originally referred to the parts of the trap to which the bait was attached. Hence, the word signifies laying a trap in someone's way. In the New Testament, it often describes an entrapment used by the enemy. Offense is a tool of the devil to bring people into captivity. Paul instructed young Timothy, and a servant of the Lord, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare, or the entrapment, of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. 2 Timothy 2:24 26. Those who are in quarrels or opposition fall into a trap and are held prisoner to do the devil's will. Even more alarming, they are unaware of their captivity. Like the prodigal, they must come to themselves by awakening to their true condition. They do not realize that they are spewing out bitter waters rather than pure. When a person is deceived, he believes he is right even though he is not. No matter what the scenario is, we can divide all offended people into two major categories. Those who have been treated unjustly. Two, those who believe they have been treated unjustly. People in the second category believe with all their hearts they have been wronged. Often their conclusions are drawn from inaccurate information, or their information is accurate, but their conclusion is distorted. Either way, they hurt, and their understanding is darkened. They judge by assumption, appearance, and hearsay. He continues to say the heart's true condition. One way the enemy keeps a person in an offended state is to keep the offense hidden, cloaked with pride. Pride will keep you from admitting your true condition. Me? Offended? And then he goes on to say about himself, once I was severely hurt by a couple of ministers. People would say, I can't believe they did this to you. Aren't you hurt? I would quickly respond, no, I am fine. I'm not hurt. I knew it was wrong to be offended, so I denied and repressed it. I convinced myself I was not, but in reality I was. Pride masks the true condition of the heart. Pride keeps you from dealing with truth. It distorts your vision. You never change when you think everything is fine. Pride hardens your heart and dims the eyes of your understanding. It keeps you from the change of heart or the repentance that will set you free. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, it says this, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God pre-adventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Pride causes us to view yourself as a victim. Your attitudes become, I was mistreated and misjudged, therefore I am justified in my behavior. Because you believe you are innocent and falsely accused, you hold back forgiveness. Though your true heart condition is hidden from you, is not hidden from God. Just because you were mistreated, you do not have the permission to hold on to the offense. Two wrongs do not make a right. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and have sat with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In the book of Revelations, Jesus addressed the church of the Laodiceans by first telling them how they saw themselves as rich, wealthy, and having need of nothing. Then, by exposing their true condition, wretched, miserable, poor, blinded, and naked. They had mistaken their financial strength for spiritual strength. Pride hid their true condition. Many are this way today. They do not see the true condition of their heart, just as I was unable to see the resentment I carried towards those ministers. I had convinced myself I was not hurt. Jesus told the Laodiceans how to get out of this deception, buy God's gold, and see their true condition. Jesus' first instruction for breaking free from deception was to buy from me gold refined in fire. That was Revelation 3:18. Refined gold is soft and palatable, free from coercion and of substances. It is when gold is mixed with other metals like copper, iron, nickel, and so on, that it becomes hard, less palatable, and the bait of Satan's more corrosive. This mixture is called alloy. The higher the percentage of foreign metals, the higher the gold becomes. Conversely, the lower the percentage of alloy, the softer and more flexible. Immediately we see the parallel. A pure heart is like pure gold, soft, tender, and palatable. Hebrews 13:3 states that the hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we do not deal with an offense, it will produce more fruit of sin, such as bitterness, anger, resentment. This added substance hardens our heart just as alloyed hardened gold. This reduces or removes tenderness, creating a loss of sensitivity. We are hindered in our ability to hear God's voice. Our accuracy to see is darkened. This is a perfect setting for deception. The first step in refining gold is grinding it into a powder and mixing it with a substance called flux. Then the mixture is placed in the furnace and melted by intense heat. The alloy and impurities are drawn to the flux and rise to the surface. The gold, which is heavier, remains at the bottom. The impurity or dross, such as copper, iron, zinc, combined with flux, is then removed, yielding a purer metal. Now look at what God says, Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And again in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 to 7, with the emphasis added. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God refines with afflictions, trials, and tribulation, the heat of which separates impurities such as unforgiveness, strife, bitterness, anger, envy, and so forth from the characters of God in our life. Sin easily hides where there is no heat of trial and affliction. In times of prosperity and success, even a wicked man will seem kind and generous. Under the heat of trial, however, the impurity surfaces. Strife is easy to identify. It is division, hard words, complaining. It is jealousy and envy. It represents a struggle. One person's will against another person's will. Arguments come out of strife, complaining and demanding your own way. Division, harsh words, disagreements, emphasizing differences all bring about a lack of harmony. Strife is caused by insecurity and pride. Where there is strife or a lack of peace, you know the carnal mind is in charge, and from strife comes confusion and every evil work. So let's check our hearts is in a good place, and that's a great place to start. If you feel you're a victim or you feel like you're rejected, okay, this can open you up to be offended. So on my website, www.graceloveandtruth.com, we have a 6-part teaching series called You Are Not Rejected, You Are Accepted. And you can, if you go to the main menu on our website, it is titled Feeling Rejected. And if you use the search box on our website and search for the teaching titled Victim or Victor, Bitter or Better. So I just really wanted to share this with you. This is something I got together, which God put in my heart yesterday and which developed all through the day until this morning. And I woke up with it still on my mind. So I wanted to share these things. Let's not be offended. Let's do what the Word of God says. Let's let God work in you. And let's be sharp and let's forgive those people that we need to forgive. Let it go. It's going to benefit you, number one, first of all. And then it's going to benefit the other person. And it's also going to benefit the ministry and your work that God has called you to do. So I hope this has encouraged you. And God bless you. And have a great week.